back for the last hour of Issues Etc. Here for the next 40 minutes. We're going to be spending some time laying side by side something that I noticed. And now I noticed this just on the air yesterday when we were evaluating a sermon by Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland has the Believer's Voice of Victory. His Sunday program, we walked through it yesterday as far as we could get through it. And I noticed at the beginning of his message, he began his message in a similar way to Joel Osteen, who is the pastor of the largest megachurch, Lakewood Church, in Houston, Texas, largest megachurch in the United States. Now, Joel Osteen, we've done a lot of his sermons as well. We've talked about him with Bob Leko and others. The two men begin their messages the same way. They have everybody take out their Bible, hold up their Bible, and I've been calling it a Bible creed because it's basically a statement of faith centered on their Bible, what the Bible is and what role it plays in their life. This is the way they begin their Sunday message. Now, I've heard from people who have come out of the Word Faith movement, and I think we can place both Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen solidly within the Word Faith movement. There's no doubt about that. And that's where the real interesting stuff comes up, by the way. But I've heard from people in the Word Faith movement, this is a common way of beginning the worship service or beginning the pastor's message with this kind of Bible creed, statement of faith, affirmation, whatever you want to call it. We place these two men firmly within the Word Faith movement, but I noticed the differences. And I want to walk through a few of those differences here during this last 40 minutes of Issues, Etc. Open Lines. I want you to listen as well and notice the differences and help me out here, especially those of you who have come out of the Word Faith movement, especially those of you who are involved also in this kind of softening down of all of Christianity, the seeker-sensitive movement. Now, see, Joel Osteen is not the pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States for no reason. We've said it before, and I think we're safe in saying this. History may prove us wrong, but for the time being, I'll assert he's the cutting edge of not only where the Word Faith movement is going, but where American evangelicalism is going, where the church growth movement is going. He's out on the front edge. Now, if this is true, and many do agree with that, by the way, if this is true, then noticing the differences between the guy who's out on the edge and the guy who's more back in the mainstream, like Kenneth Copeland, in something like their Bible creed at the beginning of their message might be very informative. Now, our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. By way of contrast, the one that we've heard more often is Joel Osteen's Bible creed. Here it is. I want you to just listen to its elements. Listen to everything that it says, and then we'll play for contrast Kenneth Copeland's Bible creed that he begins his messages with. Here's Joel Osteen.
All right, hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You sound great as usual.
All right, that's Joel Osteen's Bible creed. You've heard it before. Here's Kenneth Copeland's. Listen, just listen for the differences. Some of them are subtle, some of them are bigger, but listen carefully.
This is my Bible.
It is my Bible.
It is the Word of God to me.
It is the Word of the Living Almighty
God. I am what it says I am.
I can do everything it says I can do.
I am empowered
by the author of this book.
I am authorized
to conduct myself
in every way of power,
blessing,
life
that's declared in this book.
I'm a joint heir with Jesus.
And
he is my life. And this book is my source
of all things good. Well, give the Lord praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
All right, that's Kenneth Copeland's Bible Creed. Now, I noticed that these two have striking similarities, and there's no big mystery here. This is boilerplate stuff in the Word Faith movement. But the differences, not just the similarities, the differences, I think, are a little more striking. What are the similarities that you heard there, and what are the differences? Basic stuff, just what was said. I can think of a few already, and we'll deal with that in the course of time here. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I want to hear from you, though. What did you hear that was different between these two? And as time permits, we're going to be walking through each of them and stopping and starting in between your response to this question. What's the difference between these two? They are different, even though they both come from the same theological place, even though they both have essentially the same outline. These two affirmations of faith, Bible creeds, whatever, have some very significant differences. What are they? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Maybe there's something there that you noticed that I have not noticed. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, let's go back to Joel Osteen's and just take it apart in detail. I'm going to stop and start a little bit. His is shorter, and so it won't take as much time. But let's take it apart, what there is there. All right? Number one there. Maybe shorter is a difference that's significant. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Stay with me, Gary, here, and we'll start Joel Osteen's Bible Creed again. Here we go.
All right, hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
Okay, that's the kind of the Holy Trinity of the Word Faith movement, if you will. Here's the Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. What was the other one in there? There was three of them. Go back. Let's hear it again. One more time, just to refresh my memory.
I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God.
All right, stop it there. Go back a little bit farther there, Gary. I want to hear it from the very beginning again.
All right, hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
Okay, there it is. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Now, for those of you not familiar with the Word Faith heresy, this is how the Bible is read. First of all, the Bible's about me. I. Second of all, not about Jesus, it's about me. Second of all, in the Word Faith, the Bible is there basically to inform Christians that they are more than they think they are. If the Bible says that they're empowered, they're empowered. If the Bible says that they can speak things that are not as though they were and they become as they are, then that's what it is. It's essentially a book to inform you that you have more power than you think you have. Well, to push it to Kenneth Copeland's extreme, I don't know if Joel Osteen would say this. To push it to Kenneth Copeland's, we're little gods. We can do what God does. If we speak words, faith-filled words, we can make things be that are not. So I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Now, there's stuff in there that's true about what the Bible teaches. That's true. I am who it says I am. There's no doubt about that. Now, we're going to differ on what the Bible says I am. The Word Faith teachers will say, the Bible doesn't say you're a sinner. It says you were a sinner. Now you're essentially a little god. And I'm going to say, no, wait a minute. You kind of jumped over that whole sinner part pretty quick, didn't you? I have what it says I have. Yes, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Although for the Word Faith teachers, it wouldn't be salvation and forgiveness of sins primarily. That might be the beginning. There are things better than salvation and the forgiveness of sins in the Word Faith heresy. and I can do what it says I can do, and that's where we kind of part ways here. Because the Word faith teachers say you can do everything God can do. Adam was a little God, you're a little God, we're all little gods. Now, I've heard Joel Osteen say it enough times, I wonder when he says that the Bible, when he holds up his Bible and says, I am what it says I am, whether he means, it says I'm a sinner, that means I am a sinner in need of Jesus. You don't hear that. Not in his preaching. His preaching is, your problem isn't your sin, your problem is your unrealized potential. You're better than you think you are. You're more powerful than you think you are. You're more blessed than you think you are. You're more everything than you think you are. It's all about you. All right, rather than get bogged down too much in the details here, let's move on. The next part of Joel Osteen's Bible Creed.
Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You sound great as usual.
All right, now that's it. My mind, my heart, I will never be the same. I'll be taught the Word of God. He has the bare bones outline. There I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Now he kind of prepares them to hear his message. I'm going to be taught the Word of God. That's a big question mark with Joel Osteen. You're going to be taught something. The Word of God? Eh? You might be taught something that the Word of God says. Will you be taught the Word of God? Well, here's a good basic way of evaluating it, as we do when we evaluate Joel Osteen's messages so often. Will you get the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ? Or will he just open up his Bible? There are many times when he has his Bible open on the podium, I can see it because the thing's made out of lucite. You can see an open Bible sitting there. And he may occasionally quote from it, although that's not mandatory in one of his messages. He might just talk to you about how to be nicer to your neighbor. So it's a big question mark about whether or not we're really going to be teaching, being taught the Word of God. Jesus will most often in Joel Osteen's messages get mentioned honorably. Honorable mention, which is just Jesus is a good guy. We're not going to tell you too much about him. Certainly not the cross. Certainly not the cross. So you get Jesus mentioned at the very end of his creed here, in Jesus' name. One is left wondering at the end of the creed who this Jesus is, if the Bible's really all about me and I. Who is this Jesus? Why is it significant to mention him? We've spent the whole creed talking about ourselves. Now we're talking about this Jesus. Who is Jesus? One listens to the rest of the message that Joel Osteen may deliver on a Sunday, and you might end the message as in the dark about who Jesus is. You're going to know a lot about yourself, but not a lot more about Jesus than you do at the end of his little Bible creed. All right, that's the first one. We just walked through it. It was very brief. So there's one difference already, much shorter than the one we're about to hear from Kenneth Copeland. Here he is.
This is my Bible.
It is my Bible.
It is the Word of God to me.
It is the Word of
the living Almighty God. I am what it says I am.
I can do everything it says I can do.
I am empowered
by the author of this book.
I am authorized
to conduct myself
in every way of power.
Okay, stop it there for a second. His is longer, okay, but he's made his basic statement here, but it seems far more detailed and specific than Joel Osteen's. That's why his Bible creed's a little longer, too. Here's my Bible. It is the Word of God. Then he says, it's the Word of God to me, he says. Now, I think he means there, it's the Word of God spoken to me, rather than just, it's the Word of God to me, maybe to you it isn't. I don't think Kenneth Copeland would ever say that. It's the Word of God spoken to me. Nothing wrong with that. It is the living Word of God. Now, I think there's a contrast being drawn there between what Copeland wants to say about the Bible and what he thinks other Christians believe about the Bible. You see, to say that Scripture is the power of God unto salvation, that Scripture is useful for our learning and profitable unto salvation, is not enough for Kenneth Copeland. That'll just turn you into a nightlight Christian, a four-watt Christian, a low-wattage Christian, maybe if a Christian at all. When he says living Word of God, he's emphasizing something that there's something you got to get from this Word of God that it will turn you into the high-wattage Christian, the halogen Christian, the brightest bulb on the tree. And he explains this. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. I am empowered. I am authorized. He's far more specific in his word faith bent in this Bible creed than Joel Osteen. That's one big difference. Number one, Joel's is much shorter. And that's, you know, if you're going to be seeker sensitive, you got to keep these things short. And shortness doesn't, you know, they say that brevity is the soul of wit. Being short doesn't necessarily mean being vague, but if you look at Joel Osteen's in comparison to Kenneth Copeland's Bible creed, at least so far in Kenneth Copeland's, Joel Osteen's is vaguer, if that's even a word, more vague, less specific. Oh, let's see what else the Copeland Bible creed contains.
Blessing. Life. That's declared in this book. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And he is my life. And this book is my source of all things good. Well, I give the Lord praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Way more specific. Now, this is what initially struck me about the difference between these two. Because I'd heard Joel Osteen's Bible Creed many times, and I'd kind of become accustomed to short and sweet, I am what it says I am, I have what it says I have, I can do what it says I can do, and then I'm going to be taught the Word of God and my life will never be the same. I was used to that. And then suddenly Copeland comes out with his Bible Creed, nothing new, of course, but when I hear him give his Bible Creed, he goes into way more detail. One might even say it's more... Now, understand how I'm using this term. It's more doctrinal. Not that the doctrine is true necessarily, but it's more doctrinal. There are more specific things said in Copeland's creed than in Osteen's creed. Maybe you are familiar with one of these Bible creeds that said at the beginning of a message on Sunday morning, can you notice other differences between these two? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll go into the details here. As we walk along here in Open Lines, Issues, Etc., let's talk with Stan first, who calls from his car. Stan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I just, listening to both of them, I hear nothing of the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Christ Jesus, what he did for us, or that we are supposed to go out and tell the world the good news or the gospel. Why is this totally devoid from them? Or am I just not hearing it?
Well, you're not hearing it because it's not there in their creeds. That's pretty clear. The classic Christian creeds of the historic church all center on, ultimately, the cross. They all either go into less or more detail about the cross itself, and all of them go into quite a bit of detail about the actual events of the cross.
Yeah, I don't hear anything of the cross. I only hear the I, me, the self-centered, self-serving. It's just, there's nothing to serve God, just to serve me, that I can do whatever I want to do as long as I think I can find it in the book.
All right, now with that said, Stan, I can't let you go before you answer this question. Do you notice any differences between the two different, as similar as they are, between these two different creeds, Copeland and Osteen?
Well, Copeland tries to put it as a more personal God to them that They can name it, claim it as far as whatever they want to do, as opposed to the other one who tries to, I guess, say, you know, it's a generalized that we should all be able to do whatever we want to do as long as it's in the book, whatever book they use, I don't know.
All right, Stan, thank you very much. Osteen's is definitely more general. Not only shorter, but less specific. Anything else? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, David calling from his car. Hi,
hey,
David.
Todd. Hey, can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. Both those creeds are basically from the theology of glory. Joel's is an ex-Methodist Creed, John Osteen, who died of cancer, oddly enough. I can't explain that.
Well, I wonder how Joel explains it, too. But do you see any differences between the two?
No. I think they're all just a bunch of hogwash myself.
See, I see differences
here. Just a gimmick to get people in.
I see differences here because, and thank you very much, David. I see differences, at least in this. You listen to Kenneth Copeland's, and the person who's got a whit of discernment is going to say, all right, now he said some pretty specific things there. I'm authorized, empowered. The emphasis that Copeland is putting in his creed is very much on, I can do what the Bible says I can do. And one is left with question marks at the end of, authorized to do what? Empowered to do what? And in the word faith theology, that answer comes very quickly. It's really the heart and center of the word faith theology. I'm authorized to speak faith-filled words and create reality with my faith-filled words. Or I can speak faithless words and also create reality. I can have blessings if I speak faith-filled words. I can have curses if I speak faithless words. And Copeland won't go 5 minutes into a message without hitting those points in one form or another. If you listen to Kenneth Copeland, he is by the book Word Faith. I mean, we commend people for, if you're a Catholic, be a good Roman Catholic. If you're a Baptist, be a good Baptist. Believe what you say you believe. And Kenneth Copeland cannot be faulted for not saying what it is he really believes, as wrong as it is. Joel Osteen, on the other hand, although his father was more specific, he mentioned John Osteen there. Joel Osteen is more ambiguous, not only in his Bible creed, but also in what he says afterwards. He will talk about blessings, but he won't lay out the very seldom will he lay out the mechanism. You speak these faith-filled words, you get blessings. You speak these faithless words, you got curses. A lot of it is implied. Let's see what Steve thinks. He's calling from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, I got a couple of points. First of all, with Copeland, what I find real interesting is it's almost more of a worship of the Bible than a worship of the Christ. And it's like, and in some way, and I don't use it that way, but it's more like using it like Merlin using a book of enchantments.
Yes.
And then the other thing that occurred to me was, you know, you keep bringing up, well, you know, is this not the forefront of where evangelicals are going? Well, so what's the difference of worshiping the Bible as they're doing, and when we had a bunch of people it's a state Supreme Courthouse in Alabama praying to the Ten Commandments.
Well, not a lot of difference at all as far as I'm concerned. Steve, thank you. It's idolatry. Now, let's make this clear. There is such a thing as biblicism, where the Bible replaces Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You know, you can walk into just about any Christian bookstore, and you're sure to find lots of advice on the subject of parenting. But most of these books contain lots of psychology and very little theology, lots of law, and very little gospel. That's why Issues Etc. and Concordia Publishing House are excited about our Books of the Month for November. Two books from the series titled Faithfully Parenting. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or to find out more about the Faithfully Parenting series on our website, just check issuesetc.org and click the What's New section. You can order Faithfully Parenting Teens or Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers for only $9.99 each, plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Two books from the Faithfully Parenting series, our Issues Etc. Books of the Month for November.
Unity, but at the expense of truth?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the free booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Well, Ken, why are so many churches willing to compromise over the truth when it might mean a split in the church?
Unfortunately, this is the case for many churches where a potentially divisive issue is discussed. Such was the case when a bishop commented on the controversy over his denomination's first homosexual bishop. "If you must make a choice between heresy and schism, that is a split," said the bishop, "always choose heresy." In other words, just overlook what the church and the Bible teaches about homosexuality and avoid a split in the church. Better to have unity, even at the expense of truth, than to divide the church. You know, sadly, this kind of advice is standard fare in many churches. One of the hardest and most divisive issues for the church today is the age of the earth. It creates division among Christians because many have tried adding millions of years in evolutionary thinking to the literal account of creation. Because Weird Answers in Genesis insist on the literal truth of Genesis, many call us divisive. But you know what? The truth is divisive. Yes, Christians should strive for unity, but not at the expense of the truth. The truth is worth fighting for.
Some Christian leaders actually believe that dinosaurs died out 65 million years before man. Well, we can help you rebut this false evolutionary teaching when you read Ken Ham's free booklet on dinosaurs. Read it by logging on to our website, answersradio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. Psychologists tell us that children formulate their moral values by repetitive observations. In other words, if a child sees something often enough, he will start believing that's the way it should be. This is why it is important to know what your children are watching on TV. TV often teaches that happiness comes from material possessions, violence is glamorous, and sexual immorality is a valid lifestyle. When you are watching TV with your children, don't let these themes that are contrary to our Christian values slip by without comment. Remind your children that Jesus died to give us a better way of life, one that is characterized by peace, joy, and sexual purity. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
On the next Focus on the Family.
There comes a time to create a crisis to say, this is not going to work. We must not allow this to happen.
Dr. James Dobson continues his talk on his best-selling book, Love Must Be Tough, and presents insights for saving your marriage using these time-tested principles. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You sound great as usual.
Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, and his Bible creed that he opens all of his weekly messages with. We're talking about the contrast between Joel Osteen, who's kind of on the cutting edge of this whole seeker-sensitive movement, the megachurch movement, and the word faith movement in the next generation, contrasting that with someone who's a little more mainstream, Kenneth Copeland, and his Bible stream. About 10 minutes left in open lines, issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before time gets away from me, our issues, etc. book of the month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens, is $9.99 plus shipping and handling, and you can order it tomorrow or any weekday during regular business hours. Faithfully Parenting Teens, or if your kids are younger, Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. It's also $9.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. That's the number for Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040. You can also visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and as you scroll down, you'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens, or Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. 1-800-325-3040. Let's go back to the phone. Cindy's calling from South County. Cindy, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy.
excuse me. You know, in I was looking at Romans chapter 4, because this is where Kenneth Copeland gets this this idea about calling things that are not as though they are. It's in Romans 4, verse 17. And He develops. I don't believe that this is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Faith in Christ and what he has done on the cross, and it has to do with, you know, forgiving us of our sins and wholeness in that sense, restoration in that sense. He's talking about earthly existence. And if you want to contrast that with Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, would you talk about those? Because this 17 in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that is the basis of what Kenneth Copeland's talking about.
No, the second passage that you mentioned there, Philippians chapter 3. All right, 3, 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you very much.
Sure.
Now, it's interesting because that's where the Word Faith teachers get this whole kind of name it and claim it positive confession theology. They get it from a misinterpretation of Paul's talking about calling things that are not as though they are. And they say, well, there you go. We've got the ability, just like God did when he created the world, to speak faith-filled words and create reality. This is the essence of the Word Faith movement, and all the rest of its theology, as aberrant as it is built around and built in order to support and buttress that contention. What does Paul mean when he talks about calling things? First of all, it's God who calls things that are not as though they are, not us. Second of all, that's a basic difference there. It's not one that should be overlooked lightly. But second of all, what is he talking about? Is he talking about Christians walking around and saying, well, I don't like the reality I'm living in, although I'll never say that, because if I said that, I would create a negative reality for myself. That would be a faithless word, a negative confession. But since I don't like I'll just think it, somehow, I guess, thinking it doesn't hurt. I'll think that I don't like I'm feeling a little sick, but I can't say it, because if I say it, I'll confirm it, and it'll set into motion a spiritual mechanism, a spiritual law, and I'll just get sicker. This is superstition, folks. This is nothing but rank superstition in the name of Christianity. Well, what do they do? Paul's not talking about saying, well, I feel sick, but I'm going to say I'm not sick, and that'll make me get better. He's talking about calling things that are not, that is, innocent people, as though they are. He's talking about calling the guilty innocent. He's talking about declaring people righteous. This is what God does. It's right there in the book of Romans, wherein it says, we are declared righteous for Christ's sake. What does God do when he declares a sinner innocent because of the innocence, the obedience of Jesus Christ all the way to the cross for that sinner? He calls something that is not as though it is, and he declares innocent. What does it say? He's consigned all to disobedience so they might have mercy on all. This righteousness that comes from God, apart from works, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And for Christ's sake, God declares you who are not, that is, not righteous, to be righteous for Christ's sake. You know, you don't have to go any farther than the cross to get the right reading of that passage. Now, the other one she mentioned was Philippians chapter 3, and I'll get back to the phones here in just a second. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, and I happen to have brought with me the Bible with the thinnest pages possible. The passage reads, for many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with weeping, as enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, their God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. I can think of, well, I think that's why Cindy's probably pointed us in that direction. I can think of few better examples than setting your mind on earthly things to say, well, you know, in this life we have hoped in Christ. And what Christ is really all about is making me wealthy, prosperous, a better person. You know, there's a contrast there. Kenneth Copeland would say wealthy, prosperous, completely healed of all bodily infirmities. Joel Osteen would say happy, contented. See, he maybe not rich, but you'll have enough to pay the bills, peaceful, of a sound mind, nice, friendly, a basically good person, well-rounded, or as Maslow used to put it, self-actualized. Now, people are going to hear Copeland's and say, wealthy, prosperous, free from all bodily infirmity, and they're going to, that's not seeker-sensitive. Joel Osteen's is. You see, and this was pointed out by a previous caller, the Copeland way of reading the Bible, even though these are both essentially the same theology, Copeland's way of reading the Bible is, first of all, it's about me, it's about you. Jesus is in there, but he's only in there insofar as the Bible is really intending to talk about you and me. It's a man-centered Bible, or a man-centered reading of the Bible. But for Copeland, you might even say, as a caller did, it becomes a book of spells. It becomes a book, you open it so that you can find out how to speak reality. Whereas for Osteen, what is it? It's a book of psychology, of life lessons, of practical wisdom. Andy's calling from Kirkwood. Andy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
You know, it's a shame that St. Paul didn't understand the principles that these two were teaching, and he would not have said that he was being poured out, and maybe he'd still be with us today. Who knows? You're absolutely right on when you're talking about this, the Bible being used more or less as a book of magical spells here. I am a magician of the entertainer sort, but I have studied the other kind of magic to some extent, and boy, that's exactly what they're doing. You want an example of magic being used like that in the Bible, go back and look at Genesis when Jacob is setting up those sticks in front of the sheep trying to get them to be different colors, or whether they're spotted or whether they're white.
Andy, I got to let you go because our time is so short. What is Scripture? If you hold up your Bible and you say anything about the Bible, what should it be? This is the cradle that holds Christ. These are the Scriptures that testify of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then your creed changes. Then you're not saying things about yourself in the creed. Then suddenly you're talking about God the Father who sent this Son into the world in human flesh, the Holy Spirit who testifies of Christ and Him crucified and the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation in His name. And then you know what? You're back at the historic creeds, and you don't need to make it up every Sunday. The reason we contrast these two folks is not to do a study of word faith, but so that when you step into church on Sunday morning and you hear the latest creed that's being proffered to the congregation, you'll be able to tell the difference between that one and the historic faith of Christians. Tomorrow on the program, Jerry Buckner will answer the question, is Christian orthodoxy strong in the black church? Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.